Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And you can follow us on Twitter, at 937TheFan, driven by Jim Shorkey Kia, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer. Shop all three locations, ShorkeyKia.com. I hope your Sunday is beautiful. And that you are out and about enjoying the sunshine listening to me as I toil away from my home office to make sure you have content, make sure you have takes. Brian Batko, Steelers beat writer for the Post-Gazette, is on the line right now, ready to talk a little bit of shop. Good morning, Brian.
Morning, Chris. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing phenomenally well, wonderfully. I definitely would not rather be outside right now as opposed to, you know, sitting inside doing a radio show. However, we make the best of it. Can't enjoy the sun just yet and get all that vitamin D. I want to ask you, though, about something Jerry Dulac suggested, and that was that the Steelers are, and this was actually, it's funny, this was something he was writing a couple days ago, and it makes me very nervous because locally, I think this is being taken as like an article of faith and solidly. Hey, why wouldn't you do this? Nationally, it's getting pilloried. But Jerry wrote, Steelers' commitment to rebuilding the running game continues and all but assures running back with picks one or two in the draft. James Conner walking, and I know Jerry wrote about this, James Conner walking over to Arizona for $1.25 million a year up to $1.75 million was all part of their plan. My question to you is this, Brian, in your opinion, is taking a running back in the first round, which I'm detecting is the direction this is all headed, is that really a good move for this team?
I think it is, Chris. And I don't always like to look at draft decisions as, you know, these binary dilemmas, like, oh, you should never, ever draft a running back in the first round, or the Steelers absolutely no way should draft a quarterback this year in the first round. I think there's nuance to all of it, and the nuance to me this year is, the way this team is constructed, right or wrong, agree or disagree with it, I think both you and I disagreed with how the early part of this offseason went as it relates to the plan at quarterback, but that's, you know, that hay is in the barn now, so I'm kind of the belief that, you know, they're of the belief that you know, one really good transcendent back can kind of, you know, get this offense over the top to where they need to be. And I think along those lines, I really do believe that Travis Etienne and Najee Harris are really, really good players and first-round talent. So last year I was not on the J.K. Dobbins or Jonathan Taylor train with the first pick. But this year I think those two guys, and Javonte Williams from UNC, you'd maybe have to do some convincing, but I at least think the big two are worthy of that 24th pick.
The thing I'm seeing that makes me nervous here is I've seen I've seen a couple of draft boards that have Javonte Williams number one, which suggests, and the reason I bring that up is he runs violently. He was in a job share, so maybe there's not that much proven kind of track record there, but there's also not much wear and tear. But if there's even a couple places, Brian, granted, we're in a mock draft landscape now where there's probably about 2,000 of them out there that you could find if you wanted.
Yeah, that's if low numbers.
If he's still getting though put up there by some services as the best back in the draft, that tells me that there really isn't some clear-cut, obvious Saquon Barkley-like guy in this field because nobody was putting a back above Barkley that year. Like, he was the obvious number one pick at that position. if this is a little bit muddled, it makes me wonder if any of those three guys is truly can't miss. It, like, the amount of uncertainty there, or the amount of disagreement and conjecture is something I don't really want to have. And that's why I don't really want a number one pick being a back. I'd feel way better about trying to snag somebody in the second.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, like, the Saquon year, he was obviously on another plane. Christian McCaffrey, even his year. But, hey, Leonard Fournette was that, and, you know, I wouldn't say that he has really panned out in that way. I think Etienne and Harris, just given their talent level, their track record of production, their all-around ability, I mean, they're probably right in that range at 24. If the Steelers had a higher pick for whatever reason, I don't know that I would be advocating for one of those two guys. But I think it's a little bit of, you know, paralysis by analysis. You start digging into all this tape, and now you're like, oh, well, this guy from UNC is better than both of them, or this other guy from UNC is better than both of them. I've seen the other running back, Michael Carter, get a whole lot of love. So, you know, I still think Etienne and Harris, to me, like, even if they would have come out last year, Chris, I thought they would have been the two best running back options. So, it's an interesting year, of course. I also think, you know, Mike Tomlin, he always likes to use the cliche of having a hardcore plan but being light on your feet. Well, how about this, Steelers front office? If neither one of those guys are picked yet, and neither is Javonte Williams, when you get on the clock, why don't you look at maybe trading down and grabbing yet another pick in the second or third round?
How much, by the way, do you think their blocking was the problem last year? I know that this is part and parcel, Brian, with the whole question of should they draft a running back in the first, but if you were assigning percentage blame to this, right, their bad running attack, and I'm going to leave Roethlisberger just maybe checking a lot of plays from runs to passes out of it. If you're identifying the issue with them being so horrible at running the football, what percentage was their line play and what percentage was the backs themselves not doing enough?
I would probably go something like 60-40. I mean, more so on the offensive line. But I also, it's another kind of catch-22. Like, you can always come at these draft decisions from whatever angle that you want and use it to make your case. But I think if the O-line is not going to be demonstrably better, and to me, probably short of adding some major names in free agency, you know, you weren't really going to be able to do that. Trusting a rookie to all of a sudden raise the profile of the whole five-man unit is, you know, maybe gets a little bit blown up this time of year from people who are pro O-line. That's why I'd kind of like to get one of these running backs who is, you know, bring your own blocker. Like, Najee Harris can run through you. Travis Etienne can run past you. Even Javonte Williams, like you said, runs violently. He finishes every run. Last year, I can't really recall many times where James Conner was finishing any run. So, yeah, I think both of those position groups need a lot of help. And honestly, if I were making the call, 2 weeks from now, I might want to go running back and two offensive linemen with my first three picks. But the Steelers haven't even used their first-round pick on an offensive player since 2012, so I guess I won't hold my breath for that.
Brian Bacco, Steelers beat writer for the PG. I actually agree with running back two linemen in the first three picks. I would invert the order, possibly, or go line, back, line.
Yeah, that's fair. I think the center position is, you know, right up there in terms of need with running backs. So, like I said before, if the draft is playing out and in front of you, the Jets are going to wait, the Dolphins are going to wait on their ball carriers, then maybe you do get tempted to pick a center there at 24. Or again, like I said, perhaps you can trade down and even give yourself more chances at your needs, aligning with the best players available.
Brian, I wanted to get into the idea, too, of one thing that I've seen. Again, I know we're in mock draft season, so, like, every question gets sort of prefaced with, hey, I'm referencing this mock draft. Would you be completely befuddled and shocked if they took an edge rusher in the first round?
I would. I don't understand all of the – and I'm seeing this, I think, almost entirely national. Like, when we're in this part of the pre-draft process and you're, you know, like you said, you have a different – mock 12.0 to read every single morning, or 10 of them. It seems like all of the national ones are the ones that are, not all of them, I should say, all of the ones that have them picking an edge rusher or any kind of linebacker are coming from the national pundits rather than us local yokels. So I don't see them going that route when they just used the third-round pick on Alex Highsmith last year. I don't think that's a great usage of your limited draft capital year in and year out. So, you know, that being said, logic would dictate to me, don't even really mess with that position until you get to maybe the fourth round, and then perhaps you can take a big swing on a guy who can come in and either push Alex Highsmith or at least be a solid number three rotational rusher.
Where do you see the Steelers on paper right now, Brian, relative to the Browns and the Ravens? Because I'm sure you've seen the over-unders are starting to trickle out in win totals. It's the people who want to roll the dice on a number before the draft happens, obviously. And the Steelers are at 9. I've seen them at 8.5. I generally am seeing Ravens at 11, Browns usually at 10 or 9.5. Where do you think that's like accurate to how you perceive the division to be on paper heading into next year right now?
Yeah, that's about where I am, and it's always kind of nice when, I guess, Vegas is sort of on the same page as you, because that means that you're at least not too far out in left field from the people that make a ton of money and build casinos doing this thing. So, I think right around 500, fringe playoff team, and, you know, kind of behind the two in your division who have been a little bit more dynamic and seem to have a better plan right now in the Ravens and Browns. Now, I think, in my eyes, the Steelers could improve their lot if they really crush this draft. And that would be, you know, I just said what I would do. So obviously I would agree if they go heavy offense off the top and try to make something happen with maybe some diamonds in the rough on defense to fill around them. But if they do kind of, you know, kind of go off the radar and, you know, like edge rusher in the first round for some reason, or you know, draft an inside linebacker when you've got a lot of numbers there, or maybe take a stab at finding a cornerback early, then I guess I won't be as bullish because of all the questions that I do have on the other side of the ball.
All right, Brian. That was a very respectable answer. You taking a measured approach, but this is sports talk where we make you give a take, maybe a hot take even, you might say, and then we stick to it, and we tell you we're not going to roast you for it if it's wrong, but that's a complete lie. I think you know the score here.
Yeah.
If the number is 9 in this 17-game season, the number is 9 win total, where are you, without knowing what they're going to do in the draft, you don't get benefit of that, where are you putting your money, over or under 9 right this second?
I can't push, can I? I guess that would be the opposite of a hot take.
No. Oh, fence sitting like strenuously discouraged on this program.
Okay, well, so then if I have to go on one side of the fence or the other, I would probably put myself on the under at this point, just because of how tough the schedule is. Like, Yeah. Well, hey, I'll remind you, around this time last year, didn't you and Tony have me on the big weekday drive time slot? And I was, you know, historically down on the Steelers. I think I said 7-9 even at that point, and that ended up being a horrible prediction. I'll own that. But I will say, a lot of the concerns that I raised when I was that down on them, I think basically did them in the end.
I think you're right.
I mean, do the ends justify the means? You tell me.
Listen, I think last year was one of those rare seasons for anybody that like prognosticates about the Steelers where you could actually decide that you, no matter what take you took, if you were hyper negative about them before the season or you were very positive, you could say that you were vindicated. The positive people could say, hey, they did go 12-4 and win the division. The negative people could say, yeah, they also cratered like few undefeated teams that late in the season ever have before and looked like a shell of themselves by the time the playoffs got
here. It is so weird to even hear you say that they were 12-4, because it just really does not.
Doesn't feel like it. Does not feel like it.
I have not thought about them in those terms in so long.
I didn't think about them in those terms last year, and like that's, you know, to get into sort of what I'm going to be talking about next year right after we're done with this, Brian. Like, I don't view them in those terms. I don't view their problems in the running game that they say they want to fix in as such a, in not simplistic terms, but in sort of, I think people see this as like, if there's a dam breaking, like you're the little kid in Holland and you just, well, plug it with like fingers or gum here. And if you get a running back there, you've plugged that hole. I don't believe that. Like, to me, they showed their colors and they were the colors of a fraud. the last 6 weeks of the season. And you could argue that, yeah, they have 2.5 months of football before that that says they can still be pretty good. I feel like that's the part that needs to be proven, given the way things ended.
Yeah, it is kind of funny to me. I mean, I'm already on record as saying I would probably just keep it simple and take one of the big three running backs in the first round if I were calling the shots. But it's almost like, and again, I'm not advocating for them to do anything crazy, trade up and take a quarterback or reach for one at 24. But it's almost like the Yogi Berra quote about how it's too crowded and no one goes there anymore. I feel like there's this sentiment that the Steelers can't rebuild right now. They're too broken.
I mean, I actually think that's true, though. It's because I'll leave you with this. I think the problem is
that's what I mean. Yeah,
they are not
that case.
I mean, they're trying to deal. I think they're trying to deal in half measures, and I think the big problem they have is there is a clinging on the franchise's part to the idea that as long as Roethlisberger is there, they have a chance to win a Super Bowl. But not only just because I think his level of play is obviously more towards like league average to maybe slightly above average when he's going well. Not just because of him, but because of who's around him in the conference. I think this sort of half measure is kind of ridiculous. They've lost a lot of important pieces, and I think they're relying on him being even better in his second year post-surgery to make up for a lot of that. And I'm not sure that that's a smart thing to be putting your chips on the table in front of.
Yeah, and maybe even if the decision makers, the big three, the Holy Trinity, if they had to drink truth serum, perhaps deep down they don't even believe that, but there's some sort of owing it to the guy for 17 years and letting him go out with something other than a humiliating loss at home.
They paid him $262 million. They don't owe him anything. But anyway, I digress and probably repeat myself. Brian Batko, read his work at the Post-Gazette. Follow him on Twitter where he posts most of his work at the Post-Gazette. Thank you, Brian.
You're welcome. See you, Chris.
Brian Batko right there. You can text us, by the way, on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. I'll read you the little, just for me, the money quote from Jerry Dulac's story before we take a break here. When he wrote about moving on from Connor was all part of Steelers' plan, in the piece there is this, the little graph goes, but they want a more dynamic feature back, a player who can put back in the offense a dimension that has been missing since the departure of Le'Veon Bell. They will do that in the draft, most likely in the first round, no later than the second. That's what Jerry Dulac wrote. Brian Batko thinks it's not a bad idea. A lot of people locally think it's not a bad idea. Then why are the Steelers getting trashed nationally for the notion of picking a running back in the first round? And is it fair? Let's talk about it next on 93.7 The Fan.